put on our PJs, build a blanket fort. Let's go inside, get cozy, comfortable. It's not a coincidence, it's a metaphor about how we come together and build our world. And when the convo ends, we break it down and begin again. Yeah. Sit down, tune in, crank it. It's time to bring your own blanket. Blanket Ninjas.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to a special episode of BYO Blanket, a podcast where we get cozy and discuss interesting topics to uplift, inspire, and contribute all inside a blanket fort. On today's episode, we are interested in talking about topics that are relevant to the world today and are always relevant. We simply forget about their importance. This episode is not necessarily for you to enjoy, though it is an invitation for you to grapple with the things that make us more human. Spoiler alert, you might enjoy it too.
Hey, Janon.
Maria, what's the point of life?
What is the point of life? This seems like the most unanswerable question there is. It's a question that nags our experience from start to finish. When the topic of the purpose or meaning of life comes up, the discussion starts off with works that address the abstract question regarding the sense of life's meaning that aim to clarify what we are asking when we pose the question of what, if anything, makes life meaningful. Now, whether explicitly or implicitly said, many religions and philosophical teachings have some sort of outline, a chapter, or entire teachings that revolve around what the meaning or purpose of life is, and in certain cases, what it should be. For example, according to Islam, God, the All-Wise, did not create us to simply wander aimlessly or to only fulfill our basic instincts and desires. Rather, we have a higher purpose, to acknowledge and worship God alone, so that we live upon the guidance of our Creator. Christianity similarly says, we are the beloved children of God, created by our Heavenly Father to reflect His glory, walk in His love, and to do His will in our lives. The ancient Chinese Maoist philosophers believed that the purpose of life was universal, impartial love. In yoga, is a unique system of beliefs that promises mindfulness through meditation, practice, and liberation. The Yoga Sutras are rooted deep into the Ashtanga Yoga, or the eight limbs of yoga, which were given to yogis by the sage Patanjali after his evolved soul had returned in human form to relieve us from our sorrows. Now, paradoxically, the more we integrate and practice mindfulness with our daily lives and realize that the only reality we experience is the present moment, because we are living as if this is all there is. Mindfulness is the quality or state of consciousness we can achieve by focusing our attention on the present moment. Meaning that the only reality, the only thing I truly know, is this moment, right here, right now. There is nothing else. Now, there's a difference between believing something and knowing something. I don't believe that I will one day talk about this topic, yet I do know that I am talking about it. This is the reality. It exists right now as I am taking action. The reality of my action, however, is questionable. Whether it is free will, whether it is even happening or happening in my head, or it's just a conglomeration of atoms vibrating in some senseless random vacuum. All of that doesn't matter. The perception of the action is what I know to be true. Within this simple concept, I believe, ironically, is the point of life. So what is the point of life? I like how the Taoist teachings put it. The Taoist teachings say that this intuitive knowing of life cannot be grasped as a concept. It is known through actual living experience of one's everyday being. In simpler words, the point of life is living. And there is no need to make it any more complicated than that. No need to achieve a certain level of knowledge or understanding. No need to chase a particular goal or dream. All I have to do is I have to find a way to stop placing so much emphasis on the need to do something, be someone, or feel something, aka practice non-attachment. Even though the well-intentioned advice we often hear that seeks to boil down the purpose of life into simple nuggets of wisdom, like be happy, love others, leave a legacy, be the best version of yourselves, and so on, those are not so much wrong, as they're simply too focused on an outcome. And achieving an outcome is reaching a destination. If you never reach that destination, you probably feel unfulfilled. And if you do reach it, then what comes after? To wrap this up, though the end result is not necessarily important, the cycle of action and the experience of the process that leads to an end result is what's important. Trust the process. We found that in our marriage, chatting about the deepest parts of life help us to feel connected with ourselves and each other. We decided to create BYO Blanket in this specific episode to invite you into this way of deeply connecting through simple wondering and talking about shared experiences. Hey, babe.
Hey.
Tell me, have you ever had a near-death experience?
Near-death experience? Yes. And I won't go into grave detail, pun intended. Yet, I can say it was the beginning of my new relationship with death. From that point on, I began knowing death as something very real, and at first, I did everything I could to avoid thinking about it. I believed and even felt strong emotions that if I let myself ponder death, that it would get me. What was really getting me was the fear of death. And fear, as you probably know, just doesn't feel good. So, as if we are, like, impartial scientists for a few moments, let's talk about death rather than the fear of death. So, what is death? Thousands of religions say various things. And each human has their own idea within those belief systems. So that's about 107 billion viewpoints on what is death. What is death to a water molecule, or a leaf, or a star? Is it an end, a transition, an immediate rebirth? Here is where we get the concept of faith, believing without experiencing things firsthand. So don't you see? Death is a part of life. Mm. In life, we want to find meaning, so we humans apply that to death too. Yet both are meaningless when you zoom completely out and away from human life. But because they are meaningless, that actually means they are the most meaningful. Because the empty space of not having a meaning, we get to create in that. We create meaning. I made death mean something bad or unwanted or scary, and that aversion propelled me toward being attached to things that could defend against death. Instead of staying centered and steady, I got pulled off way to one side, using so much more energy and getting more and more tired, worrisome, frantic, and at some points in total resignation. We all talk about how we want more peace, more control, more will. And it starts with giving up. Giving up attachments to expectations, to perspectives, to desires, to the need to defend against. And it's weird. You give up what you want, and suddenly you can have more. Because you then drop back into the center, the most energy-efficient stance with the biggest range of awareness. Now, I'm not saying to give up wanting to be alive or to stop avoiding death, because that is its own extreme. No thing survives when operating via extremes. What I'm saying is to come back to our centers by balancing our reason with unreason. We get stuck in the illusions of our minds, in our thought patterns, in the grandest illusion that our human brains aren't limited. They just are. We get stuck in operating from always needing to know, always needing external meaning. To your knowledge, add in a little space for some unknown and be empowered by that. To the vast unknown, realize that just a little you do know and be empowered by that. Because that is what death is, the greatest unknown. A void that we put meaning upon. Why am I afraid to die then? Why am I afraid for others to die? This aversion from death, what does it then cause me to be attached to? Attachment to comfort, attachment to the known, to control, to ownership, to having, to desire. So I ask myself, in my life, do I ever feel too attached to the point where I'm suffering? To the point where I'm anxious, resigned, feeling helpless, overworked, frustrated, or blaming something or someone for my suffering? Attachments and aversions are not intrinsically bad. Remember, nothing has inherent meaning. Yet, if I'm suffering, like if I had answered yes to any of those questions, I know I'm not centered or peaceful. And that is solely my responsibility to do or undo whatever is necessary to get back to residing in the peaceful center. And that's why I even bothered doing this super uncomfortable inquiry about death. Why am I afraid of death? Am I really afraid? If I am, does that mean I am just a being comprised solely of fear at my roots or my essence? No. Then what am I? I've been suicidal before, you know. I've walked the brink of death before, where I accepted my fate and lay there for God to take me. I've had a friend die in a room next to me when I was a young adult, and his funeral was the first dead body I'd seen. He got to live for 23 years. It's taken me now about a decade of grappling with death to finally feel just a little at peace with it. Most of us need time to put the unreason into reason and be okay with it. But that's good, because we've all got time, starting from right now in this life. Life is a part of death, and death is a part of life. If we release the grip of fear around death, how differently would we live? Thank you. Anyway, I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, you did. I hope I answered yours.
Not really, but I guess that's the point.
It is the point.
I have one more question for you.
What's up?
What's for dinner?
I still have banana bread that I made yesterday.
Banana bread for dinner it is. Anyway, guys, the people tuning in to this little wife-to-wife conversation, thank you for listening. We hope that you've enjoyed this episode. Please make sure to rate us on iTunes and share about us with your friends, your family, coworkers, enemies, everybody.
Yes, and also please consider supporting our podcast via Patreon.
Patreon.com/BYOBlanket.
www.patreon.
.com/BYOBlanket.
This helps us continue to put out more great quality episodes. Great quality, emphasis on great quality episodes. And you can just give as little as $1 a month.
$1 a month, y'all.
$1.
Nothing costs that cheap nowadays.
Love you.
Thank you so much for listening. Bye. Bye.
Blanket Ninjas.
BYO Blanket is a production of The Light Generation.
The BYO Blanket jingle was composed and produced by Studio Sassafras Music in Houston, Texas.
And the vocals are by Jessica Zoller. Thanks for listening.
Blanket Ninjas.
Blanket Ninjas.